are in the middle of the last pasuk of Perek Dalet, in Amos. Okay. In the last pasuk, we still did not yet enter into Perek Hay. So we're still trying to get through the Likutei Shas, the different Mamori Chazal. Let's continue where we left off.
Okay.
Okay, page 310. On page 310, let's continue where we left off. Okay, let's see. It's the second line. Okay, the second wide line. Second wide line, page 310. Hi, good morning. How are you, Shalzev? Second wide line, Omar le koifer le rabon gamliel, mishabor horim loy bor ruach, shenema hine yoitz hodim uvore ruach. Okay, so we discussed this yesterday at length. We got into a very heated debate about this concept, about that in ancient times, the pagans, they each the belief was that one avodah zara does not mind, one idol does not mind if you worship other idols. One god does not mind if another god is also worshipped, and that's what it says over here. There are two different gods: the god of the mountains and the god of the wind. Our pasuk cites our pasuk in Amos. Hashem, it says over here, Yoytzahadim. Zenikur Yoytzer and Zenikur Boirei. Heishiv, two different expressions to describe creation. Heishiv Rabban Gamliel Elamiata Gabi Adam Datsiv. It says Vayir Vayitzar. It says these same two different expressions by the creation of man. Does that mean to say that according to your logic that there are two different creators, man cannot possibly be? Hachinama, you're going to say She Titan Shemisha Bar Ze Loi Bar Ze. It says by man that there are different parts of man, the different elements in man. This is a very fascinating concept of paganism. Take a course on idolatry, all different types of Avodah Zarah. Is to say that in man himself, the different parts is a shutfis of different gods. There's the god that created the hearing, and there's a god that created the sense of smell, a god that created the eyes, a god that created the sense of taste. There's probably some, look in the encyclopedia of gods, who knows what you'll find there. Every time in the Shagas, and you'll find there's such a belief that within man himself, there are different. There are different facets, different dimensions, different natural abilities, and each ability, each characteristic or element, whatever you want to call it, was created by a different god.
Break it down that way, then it's limitless.
Exactly. You have many, many gods. Now, what is the proof?
It's really hard to keep track of an infinite number of
gods.
Yeah.
So what is the research? What is the proof, the rebuttal? What is the proof that this is utter nonsense? The proof that it's utter nonsense is the fact that when a person dies, everything shuts down at the same time. When a person dies, all of the organs all shut down at the same time. Now, how could that possibly be? If each facet of man was created by a different god, it's not logical all of them should shut down, should decide to take the person's life at exactly the same moment in time. So that's his Misha Barzeh Loi Barzeh. So he said back to him, Tefach al Tefach Yesh Boi Ba'adam B'Roshay. A person, there's an area on the face that's very, very small. It's a Tefach by a Tefach. Tefach is four fingers. Ushmei Nikavim Yesh Boi. And in this there are two holes. What are the two holes? The two nostrils. Are you going to say Ha'im Gam Kan Titan Shemi Shabor Ze Loi Bor Ze Shenemar Hanoite Oizen Halo Yishma? We said this today in Vuhurachum. The one Hanoite Oizen Halo Yishma is it not so? The one that implants the ear, the power of hearing. It's a very beautiful idea. Very, 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 very beautiful expression. Very pasuk in Tehillim. Can it be that if Hashem is the one who created in man the koyach of Shemiah, can it be that Hashem himself does not hear? Hashem does not listen, does not hear what we say, does not hear our tefillos, does not hear the Lashon Hara, does not hear the good and the bad. If the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one that created the man, the Koyach of Shmir, has to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears. Hanoite oizen halo yishmo, can it be that Hashem does not hear? Im yoitzer ayin halo yabit, if Hashem created man, the Koyach of sight, can it be that Hashem does not see what goes on? So therefore it must then be, So what are we saying over here? That there are different koichos. There is the koich of Re'iyah, the koich of Shmiyah. Are you to say that each one has a different God? Each one was created by a different being? Amalei, in. So this Apikoros says, yes, that's right. Very interesting that in the, a person, a human being.
It's like a Frankenstein-like creature created from spare parts from the
Very good. Very good. Amalei, so the Apikoros says, yeah, you know, that makes a lot of sense. He's telling me over here that within man, there are different parts of man, facets, and there are different psukim that describe different forms of creation. Hanoita is one expression. Yoitzer is another expression. There is Vayivra, Vayitzer. So many different expressions of creation. And indeed, this Rabbi Gamliel seemed to whet his appetite, to open up his eyes to see oh yeah, that's right, I didn't think of that. There are even more gods. In man, there are so many gods. So here he finally gave him a clap, he gave him a zetz. Amalei said to him, Rabbi Gamliel, Uvashas Misa, let me ask you a question, if this is really correct, Uvashas Misa, can it really be Ho'im Kulon Nispaisu? Do they all agree on together? Sheyamus B'diuk. Now he writes over here in the Be'er Hamilos, Sheyamus B'diuk B'ois Izman. This is illogical. It is illogical that man should shut down in one moment. They should coordinate their Zman when they will withdraw the ability for man to hear, to see, to smell, to touch. Now obviously, there are people that are sick, and some people, they can't see, they can't hear, v'chulu. But generally speaking, most of the world, at the time of when the person dies, achamei v'esrim, when the person dies, all of the koichos of the human being, they shut down together. That's a person that was sick, their things cut to come. But the fact that they all shut down together in one moment obviously is an indication that there is one creator. Because it's not possible that every single person, every time that they die, all of the gods of all the different parts of their body should all come together in agreement, okay, now is the time when this person should shut down. It's impossible. The whole thing does not make one bit of sense that this should be a fact that happens over and over again. How many people lived in the world since time of creation? Is there even a way to calculate such a number? Billions, trillions, who knows how many people lived from the time of creation until today? And every single one of these people, like as I have to say, 99% of them, when they die, everything shut down at the same exact moment. And if a person is made up from 50 gods, all 50 gods got together for every single one of these trillion people and decided, okay, now is the time we're going to take back our powers that we've given this person. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, such a concept.
But it's interesting, the nails still grow. Why is that?
What's again?
The nails of a person still grow.
After they die?
Yeah.
After they die.
How long? I don't know for how long, but it's a phenomenon.
It could be the tail of a lizard. The Gemara says the halta, the zon of a halta. There's the tail of the lizard. Now the nails is cartilage. The nail is not considered to be a life form. Okay, the nails. I'm understanding the thing out loud. The nails is cartilage. It's not considered to be a koich of chayim. Okay, that's why there's all these laws of tumah. These very mystical things about nails in here. Cartilage. So I don't know. Hear you saying I don't know, but like just like we have this principle that when a person dies, the lizard, you chop off the head of the lizard, the tail still continues to shake, to wag. There's a nerve reaction. So too, a person after he dies, there are certain things that are still operating that are just they're not the ruach hachaim of the person, but that continue. Okay, yeah, whatever. Okay, but this is what it says over. Okay, it's a very interesting chazal. Okay, very fascinating, Chazal, the argument of the Apikorsim, since there are multiple words in the Torah, in Tanakh, describing the facets of man, and each different facet we use a different expression, this opens up a Pesach for the Apikorsim to suggest that maybe there's more than one power, there's more than one God which contributes to the creation of man, like Hashem said, being a Maaseh Bereishis, Naaseh Adam. Hashem said to the Malachim, let us, B'lashon Rabim, Naaseh Adam. And Rashi on the spot there says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew very well that by using this term, he's going to give a pischa in peh to the Apikorsim to say there's more than one Rishus. But Hashem said it's a trade-off. It's a trade-off that better teach men humility. It's kedai to teach him humility. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator. He's humbled himself, Naaseh Adam. Even though the offset will be, the trade-off will be that there's going to be potential for Apikorsim to question if there is one creator or more, Chas v'Shalom. This, by the way, is the yesod of life. The creation of man was done with a trade-off. And that is the yesod of life. 99.9999% of the time, there is no such thing as having it all. You cannot have it all. If you're going to have one thing, you're not going to have something else. Everything in life is a trade-off. It's like my mother is telling me in the name of my grandmother, Zichron Aleh HaShalom, life is like a short tablecloth. If it's nice on one side, it's lacking on the other side. You want to pull the tablecloth on this side that it should be nice, it should be perfect. Then on the other side, it's going to be bare. It's not going to come down. This is the yesod of life. Trade-off, having a hasagas that you're going to have it all. Torah u'gedula b'makom echad. Everything is going to be perfect. It doesn't go like that. A person has to select what he feels in his tafkid, what resonates with him, where his neshama fits, and pursue that avenue, that approach, at the expense that you're not going to have other things in life. That's just the way it goes. If a person wants to be a multi-billionaire, ein davar oimed b'fnei haratzain. But you're not going to be a Talmud Chacham. It's not the way it goes. That's the reality. If you want to be a Talmud Chacham, Parnassah is going to be a struggle. That's the way it goes. There's no such thing. A person wants to have good children, devote himself to raise them, and mechanech them. You're not going to have time for other things. There's no such thing, they always write in these magazines, there's no such thing as quality time without quantity of time. Today, say that again?
Halis by Amen, everything in one person is nishtar by Canaan, doesn't exist.
By anyone, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. This is the Metzias. Okay, it's the Metzias. You cannot, life is all about trade-offs. You know where I learned this story from? It really hit home when I was in college. In the Professor Thurm, he was a really real celebrity there in Brooklyn College.
He's still a celebrity.
For what reason is he a celebrity? He's a real funny guy, and he gave a course, and basically the whole course, this was the whole topic of the course, was to show that in computers, in every area of computers, in programming, in hardware, in software, you name it, it's all trade-offs. Every different element, component in the entire industry of computers, if you're going to focus on give this all you got, there's going to be suffering somewhere else in your system. And if you're going to have this, there's no such thing as perfection. It does not exist in anything. And where does that come from? That all comes from one word, not two words. Hashem said, Naaseh Adam. The creation of man was done with two words, which is a trade-off. Naaseh Adam, to teach man humility. Me'oid, me'oid, hevei, shval, ruach. Beautiful. What more could man want?
That's the essence, I guess, of the argument of the Malachim. Should man be created or not?
Interesting idea. So they're trying to say that since you can't create a perfect being, don't even bother. Is that what you're trying to say? Since there's not going to be by humanity perfection, so why bother? Malachim, maybe you're arguing they have perfection. They have everything they need. They have. There's no trade-offs by Malachim. Is that really true? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what goes on by Malachim, but by human beings, it's built into man's DNA. This principle: you cannot have it all. because the words that were used to create man that was injected into his DNA is Nase. And the word Nase, Adam, is a trade-off. Hashem said we're going to teach man this beautiful midah called humility.
See, that's the thing is, so because man was created with free will, so that's that. So every decision, you know, it could be a good decision or a bad decision, and that's what the argument was. Is it worth it to create man who's going to make a lot of bad decisions and so on?
Okay. So here we see this idea. Built into man are many different kechas and nefesh. The apikarsim are open to the possibility that there's more than one creator in man himself. It opens up a whole new idea, because when we read the pasuk Nas Adam, we're more under the impression is man is a product that was done by more than one creator. But once man is created, it's done. This Chazal is saying something much deeper. It's saying that there are multiple gods that participate in the creation of man, and each god maintains control, authority over their contribution. When you give a donation to a shul, okay, once you give them the money, you're not in control. That's it. It's in the bank. They'll do whatever they want. Leave me alone.
You can give to a specific cause.
Okay, to a cause, yeah, but you can designate. Okay, you can. But there is a person. The person, the treasurer, the president, the rabbi. At the end of the day, he's the boss. He becomes the boss, and he integrates what you've given for your cause under his authority. Here, no. It's here. The Chazal teaching us each god that gives a contribution, they maintain 100% control. The god that created the eyes is in control of the eyes. The god that created the ears is the ears. If not, this is what he's arguing. This is what the Apikoreis is arguing. He's not saying, listen, there's a God who has the koich of sight. So he gave a gift. Here's my technology. Here, you take it. You take it. You have a company. You go a car. So a car today, I remember once in this showroom, there was this young guy, he was explaining to me this certain car. They've taken this feature in the car was taken from Germany. And this feature was taken from this company. They've purchased all these various pieces of technology, and they've integrated it into one automobile. So who's the boss? Whoever is selling you the car, the manufacturer who makes this car, they've become the bala boss over the technology they've purchased it. Who made it? This one made this, and this one made that, and this one made that. That's how you think what man is. Man is a creature. But there's one person, there's one being in charge who's taking technology according to Apikorsim from here and from here and from here. That's Apikorsis. To say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, but he went and he acquired the technology of sight from another god, and acquired the technology of hearing from another god. That's Apikorsis. That's how I always thought what it means, Nase Adam. Hashem, I'm the Balabas. And the Apikorsim are saying, Hashem went and he took from all the different malachim, whatever it is, he took a few things here and there, spare parts, right? Frankenstein, spare parts to make man. But man was manufactured by Ribbono Shel Olam. Man is a taka monster. He is. Here we're learning a whole new insight. That's not the way it goes. There is no one manufacturer. This Apikorsim is saying to Rabbi Gamliel that each god Mamish maintains 100% exclusive control over their contribution. 100%. And Rabbi Will said to him, you're a shaita. If that's taka the case, that each one maintains full control, there is no way they would all come and agree that a person should die at exactly the same moment. No one's going to shut down. Everyone has a kill switch, right? A secret kill switch. In their technology, no one's going to execute their kill switch at the same exact moment to shut down man. It's impossible. So this is foolishness to say such a thing. Okay, let's go to the next sugya. See, Mamash, you have a whole course in college on idolatry. There's so much material here we're going through. Mamash, you can go and get a PhD. Let's go further to the next sugya. The next sugya is a few lines down. Let's see, it's Omar, the last word on the line. Omar, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down in the Likutei Shas. 6 lines down. Omar, Le'ahu Tzeduki, Le'ahu Tzeduki, Tzeduki Apikoreis, Okay, the Stoikim and the Vaitaisim, they're a whole branch, a whole study in itself. Who were the Tzedoikim? What was their agenda? Not for now. Me, what did he say to Rabbi? Me, sheyotzar harim lebar ruach. Similar to what we said before. Umi, shebara ruach lo yotzar harim. The possibly learned above. Ki hine yotzar harim uvare ruach. Two different expressions, two different verbs. Describing creation. Omar le, shoite, fool. Shvil, descend. Le sefer dekra Hashem tzivakai shemo. Okay, chulin. Today is the first day of chulin. Dafyomi, anyone here learning Dafyomi? Dafyomi, so today you get a Mazel Tov, you finish Masechta Menachos, it's a beautiful Masechta, a Mechol, Mazel Tov, all people learn Dafyomi. Today is the first day of Chulin, look at that Hashgach Pratis, we right away come to Chulin Daf Pei Zayin. Roshoy Kesem Paz. Roshoy, the beginning, today is the first day, Paz. Roshoy, you know that Paz that says reference to the Baruch Sh'amar. Baruch Sh'amar has how many words? 87 words. Where did Baruch Sh'amar come from? It came out of Shemayim.
Yeah.
A tzetel came out of Shemayim with Baruch Shemayim written upon it. Roshay, the beginning of Pesukei Dezimra is Kesem Paz. Simply translated to mean the finest gold. Kesem Paz, Paz, these are two words which mean the finest gold, the most exquisite gold in the world. If I'm not mistaken, there are seven types of gold. Is that correct, Michal? There's a Medrash that lists seven different varieties of gold, and the finest gold is called Kesem Paz. And okay, this is just, I just find very interesting because what do we say here? Remind me, Kesem Paz Tohar Roshay. Kesem Paz Tohar Roshay. Tzach al Meitzach Kvoid Shem Kodshay. Okay, so I just find it very fascinating. Today's Chulin, and I'm here in Paz and Roshay. It's the beginning. Roshay, first day of Chulin, Kesem Paz. Everything's Vashkach. Hashem Tzvakesh. What is the deep meaning of this pasuk? I don't know. But one thing on a very, very, very simple level is Apikorsim, they don't have patience. They don't have patience to see the big picture. This is just such a simplistic translation of this part of Maamar Chazal is, it says here, Hine Yoytzeharim, Loi Ruach, oh! And right away, the Apikores right away opens up his foul mouth and spews out nonsense. Have a little patience. Why don't you just read the pasuk to the end? A few more words where it says, Hashem Tzivakai Shemoi, is one Ribbon Shalom who is Tzivakai, which means all the elements, all the hosts of the Gansavel, the whole world, Hashem is Koilel, everything together. This is the Mida of Apikorsim. They just don't have the patience to see the big picture, to wait in time and to be brought. Godless greatness is patience. Greatness is the willingness to see the bigger picture, not to focus on the nitty-gritty. Person focuses on just this, this event happened. Right away, Connecticut, you know, whatever. You don't have to go into the examples. It's a katnus. It's a very narrow-mindedness for a person. It's what's called narrow. What is narrow? Narrow is just this element. Greatness is broadness. To see everything together. Wait a few moments. The pasuk is going to conclude. Hashem Tzivakai Shemo. There must be much, much deeper interpretations of this chazal. But on the very simple level, it's very, very true. You'll know it to be very true in our own lives. Next. Amar Rabbi Rabba, Amar Yochanan, Hain the time of the Rabbi Meir, Shahoira, Shabapelis, Kimin Chayiv, Oif, Tumas. Now we go to Sugya from Mesechta, Mesechta Nida. Now what is the Sugya? A woman gives birth to a fetus, stillborn. Rachman al Tzlan, a stillborn, what is the halacha? She's Tumas Tumasleida. The requirement for a woman to be, that she becomes Tumas for a Zohar 7 days, 33 days of Tahara, on the cave of 14 days, 66 days of Tahara. So, and then she has to bring Korbanos, an Oila, and a Chatos, Torim. She has to bring two birds. Now, you would think it only applies if she gives birth to a living child. But what happens, Rachmana Litzlan, she gives birth to a stillborn, she has a miscarriage, So what would, so maybe you would argue there's no laws of Tumah v'Tahara. Maybe she's a Nidah, maybe not. Tahara, 33 days of Tahara, who says, Korbanos, forget about. No, the Torah is Mechadish. I don't know the Drasha, but the Torah is Mechadish. You have to look up the whole Gemara in detail. That a woman who gives birth, Rachmana Litzlan, to a stillborn, or has a miscarriage, is obligated to bring korbanos, and all the laws apply. But there's one caveat, one condition: the stillborn or the miscarriage fetus must have the tzura of a human being. If she has a miscarriage to something that looks abnormal, and who's to decide what's abnormal? We have no idea. Obviously, this is lost from us. What we call abnormal, we don't know. But this general rule. If the miscarriage results in something which is abnormal, there is the laws of Tumah v'Tahara and of Korbanos do not apply. What is called abnormal? If the fetus looks like an animal, either a domesticated animal, a wild animal, or a bird. What are the characteristics? Who knows? That's not for us. I don't think there's any explanation of what this is. Whatever it is. This has been lost from us. If it looks like an animal or a bird, has those characteristics, and there is no requirement, all the laws do not apply. How do you know this? Here, one more time. What does he say, Meir? Shahori Paskin. Shemapelis Kamin Chaya V'Oif Tmeya. A woman that has a miscarriage of a Chaya, a wild animal, V'Oif Tmeya. Non-kosher variety. Non-kosher. Doesn't matter. She is still. I made a mistake. It's the other way around. She is still. Even though Tmeya Tumas Leda. Why? Because it says the word Yitzira in regard to a non-kosher animal and a bird, just like it says the word Yitzira in regard to the creation of a human being. So since they all share in common the term Yitzira, a woman who does have a miscarriage to what it looks like a Chaya or a Chaya Tmeya or a bird, the halach is she does have all of the requirements. That's the case. What happens if she has a miscarriage of what looks like a mountain? Whatever that means, has the characteristics of a mountain. Does that mean to say imay tmei leida as well? Because it says in the pasuk above, we learn shenamakihine yoitzer. It says the same word yoitzer harim uvarich ruach amalei. So he said to him, Har Mikra Mapeles. What are you talking about? Is there such a thing as having a miscarriage of what looks like a mountain? Even he the Mapeles. That's not called a mountain. If a woman has a miscarriage of just a mass, a flesh, that's called a stone. Ahu gush, even he de kamapeles. Ahu gush ikre. It's a stone. There's no such thing as a mountain. There's something called what looks like a stone, which is just a gush. Gush is a mass,
or a clump.
Below har. It's not called a mountain, and therefore the mitzias does not exist. Einochinami. If it did exist, such a possibility that you can define the characteristics of a mountain and apply that to a stillborn, you're right. She would be Tomei, all the rules would apply. But being that the Mitzius does not exist, where you can attribute the characteristics of a mountain to a stillborn, it's impossible. There's nothing to discuss.
Where does it say
Yitzhira by... Right here, our pasuk. That's why this is Chazal. Ki hine yoitzer harim.
No, I'm talking about a Chaya Tomei and of Tomei.
In the parasha, Vayitzra Hashem es Chayas Haaretz, in the beginning of Bereishis.
Right, and what about
it says when Hashem created all the animals, it used it. Look in the beginning, the Yom Revi. What was Yom Revi?
Yom Chamishi.
Right, that's correct.
Including,
I don't know why only Tmei. I don't know.
Tzvi is a Tzvi. Well, I don't know what a Tzvi is, but it's a Chaya.
And it's not Tmei. But I think it could be that's posh. I think it could be that
Gizel. I think it's Gizel, not a deer. Okay.
But I think maybe the Gemara holds that's simple, that's poshut, that you would be, she would have Tumas Leida. The Chiddush is even a Behema Tmeya, Chaya Tmeya. I think something along those lines. I don't know exactly. But something along those lines, you're right, it doesn't make a difference. It really doesn't make a difference. El miyatam pelas ruach. Next kash. What about ruach? Tehei rima tmei leida. Hoyel v'nemer boi b'riya ka'adam. Like the same pasuk above. Boi ruach. The same boi ruach. Ve'chi teima shemila zo loy mufne. Lidra yishmenu kihi nitzrach l'guv. Maybe the pasuk, the only time you can make a drash is only when the word is extra. Now, that never stopped us from learning definitions. So let's just leave it alone for now. But if the Gemara says maybe the word is not available, the Gemara says the pasuk here could have been mekatzer, could have said in one shot, kine yoitzer Hashem creates mountains uviruach. Why did it need to add the extra word, inject the extra word of boire? Uchsiv boiruach shmamino liafnuye. It's extra, and therefore the question returns: if a woman is mapeles an item, an object that has the characteristics of ruach. I have no idea what that means, but the Gemara is telling us that there is such a thing. If that's the case, woman should be tmei tumas leida, and yet the halacha is that she is not. Why not? Amalei donin divrei toira mi divrei toira vein don divrei toira mi divrei kabbalah. This is shocking, my chazal, because this is contradicted probably 100 times over in other Mar chazal. What this means? You cannot learn a halacha in the Torah from what it says in the Nevi'im. How do you like that? Really? I can show you 100 Gemaras that learn out what it says in the Torah from what it says in Divrei Nevi'im.
Well, as an asmachta, not necessarily
a halacha. No, I can't quote you examples at this moment, but I think there are many situations where we really do learn halacha. Obviously, this is a super duper complex sugya topic, and it's really only not for the faint of heart to go and understand the different madrigot. There are different. Shalom aleichem. Where have you been? West Palm. Okay, welcome back. Welcome back to the north. Go north, my child. So what over here, this is a super duper complex sugya. Every time you learn a daf gemara and the gemara cites psukim from Nachos, yesterday's daf, second to last daf in the second Nachos, the gemara talks about a person who worships idols. He worships a kohen who worships idols, and b'mezid. And then he's choizer b'shuva, and he comes back to the Beis HaMikdash, and he wants to serve, to minister in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, Osir, we reject him. You're not allowed to minister. You certainly can't do zurika. You can't do why? It's a pasuk in Yecheskel. The pasuk says that the Kohanei HaBamos, the Kohanei HaBaal, they did all of these terrible things. Lo yikshu elai l'sharseini. You do not come near to me to minister. Okay, you remember that Gemara 2 days ago? So it's a Pesherish Halacha. This Halacha in the Torah, we're learning out from Divrei Kabbalah, Divrei Navi, from Yechezkel. Okay, just yesterday you had this sugya, whole daf on this sugya. So
you can't learn the mitzvah.
Okay, so what you're doing over here is you're coming to give an answer, you're coming to differentiate, you're coming to this different types of Halacha. Sometimes we just need a translation, a Pesherish Rashi. We go to Navi. Sometimes we need to more of a background. Sometimes
more information.
Do we make mamish a gzeira shava to make a halacha? That. Where do you draw the line? It's extremely complex. And extremely, there are probably many opinions how to split the hairs in these situations. But it's kedai. This is a chazal which touches upon the sugya, and it's one major component of this topic. What it says here, Masech the Nida, that if a woman has a miscarriage of an object that has the characteristics of ruach, whatever that can possibly mean, theoretically, she should follow all of the rules of Tumas Leida and bring korbanos, because it says here an extra word called uvorei ruach, and it says by man, the creation of man, vayivra lukim es ha'adam. And this Gezeira Shava should be enough to teach us that this is the Halacha. And yet it's not the Halacha. Why? You cannot take what it says in Amos and use it to enlighten you what it says in Chamishei Chumshei Torah. Okay, really? You can't? I'll show you can. Okay, that's just, we'll leave it with that. Next. Umagid la'odah ma'seichoi. Hashem reveals to men what is his seichoi. We had 100 perushim what this means. Rabbi Ilo havestolik b'darga. Let's see this new Gemara. He was going up the ladder. Okay, this is really the main, this is where how I translated it when we first started. This is the simplest, the most popular. Everything that we learned in the Olam Farshim is not the popular translation of Magid la'odah ma'seichoi. We had mice. Hashem tells you your deeds. Hashem tells you what you will say in the future. Hashem tells you what he can do, what his deeds are. All the perushim that we've learned in the last 2 days are not the popular perush. The popular translation is what it says in the Gemara Chagiga, which he quotes right now. And that is, Rabbi Ilo Havasalik Bedarki, he was going up the ladder. Allah Bimadregos, he was going up the steps. The Bei Rabba Bar Shila and the Bei Smedrish of Rabba Bar Shila. Shamei Nikodahavikokare, he heard a child that was reciting the pasuk. This is a form of prophecy. Chazal say that Bizman Azeh, when we don't have prophets, we don't have Ruach HaKodesh, what's the next best thing to get a communication from the Ribbono Shel Olam? To listen to the psukim that children are learning.
Shaitim,
foolish people, and children. You see a child, what did you learn today? And the child will tell you the pasuk he learned. And that is a message for you. That's the way the Ribbono Shel Olam will communicate, is coming to communicate with you. In ancient times, who would communicate? The greatest of the great. Prophets, who would spend their entire life being poirish, proving themselves. And today, the communication comes from the extreme opposites. From foolish people, and from children that don't know between their right and their left. The past that they learned, what they're going to tell you is a divine prophecy. Isn't that amazing? Mamash mikotzel kotze, of where the communication comes from. So what was the pasuk? He was learning this pasuk. He asked a child, okay, what child today learns amos? You show me today a child today in Yeshiva Katana that's learning amos. No way. No. What? No, not even in the girls' school. They first... What grade is she in? High school, maybe. High school, okay. Elementary school? No way. I'm sorry.
I think they started learning.
Okay, could be. In high school, they learn Nevi'im Shoinim, they learn Nevi'im Achroinim, you learn Yeshaya, you learn Amos. I don't know, I've never heard such a thing. Kine Yoitza Hodim Uvari Ruach Magil Adam Masechai, Amar, Eved, Sherabai Magiloi Masechai, Takon Yeshloi. So he said, this Hashem is speaking to me, Hashem is giving me this message, and Hashem is telling me, Rab Arshela, it's hopeless. You're finished. There's no, you have no chance. Because if this is the pasuk that Hashem is telling me, that Hashem will reveal Magid la'odam, Hashem will reveal to a person Masechai. Now he learns this to mean that Hashem will, is a tape recorder. Hashem will, is a video recorder. Hashem will play back for you in slow motion your entire life. Your entire life, every single deed that you have done. Oy gevalt. Are we in trouble? What?
I mentioned this one.
What tickets?
The show.
The show?
I think Rav Kravach said it once that, I don't know if he was quoting, but that that's Gehenna. Seeing your life.
That's right, it really is. It really is. You know, and it's even Gehenna in this world. The average person, can't speak for everyone, it is utterly torture to watch themselves. I know personally, I record all the shiurim. Okay, I try to at least. I cannot listen to myself for even one. It is nauseating for me. Really, it is nauseating for me to go back and listen what I said. Ugh, it totally grates my nerves. Why do I record it? I don't know. Just for fun. So I should have it. I don't know why. Whatever. I record it. You record it. You say it. Whatever. That's another story. But yourself, and I'm not the only one. I've heard this from many, many people who give shiurim and record themselves. They cannot, even for a second, what about pictures? I can't look at pictures. I cannot look at my bar mitzvah album. I really...
Right. Nobody can.
No, right, exactly. So everyone agrees. You cannot.
No, I think it's fun to...
maybe at a certain point in time, maybe when you reach a certain age and you don't relate to it anymore, you do not even view yourself, you view it to be someone else. Maybe then you can look at it. But when if you're still connected some way, and this is extremely common, so therefore you don't need to come to the next world for the Gehenna of Yagel Adam. You want a taste of Gehenna in this world, you take out a tape recorder, a video recorder, you open up your bar mitzvah album, and you look at it, it's really torture. It's really, it brings memory. What has happened all these years? What have I accomplished? What have I done? All the mistakes I made, all the foolish things. Where am I going? It's real torture. It's Gehenna in this world to listen to yourself and to look at yourself. And people who love to listen to themselves, they're like a different breed. They're a different breed of people. It's just very, very bizarre. Okay, listen, but Magid Takoni Yeshloi, what chance do I have in this world? My Mas Seichai, the Lord now wants to clarify, why was it torture for him? It was torture for him because he understood the Pasuk in a certain way. If we learn the Pshat and the Pasuk, what we learned the last couple of days, it's not torture. Mas Seichai means Hashem creates the mountains, beautiful mountains, and there are storms, in order to awaken man to the power of Hashem. The subject of the Masechai is Hashem's deeds. So why is it torture? Why does a person want to give up hope? Obviously, he had a different interpretation of the meaning of Masechai. That's the Gemara's question. Why was he so disturbed? Masechai, how did he understand the translation of these words that caused him to go into a deep depression and needs professional help? The Gemara says, I'll tell you what he interpreted. Masechai, Amar Rav, Afilu Sicha Yisera, Shebein Ish Leishtoi, Magidim Lo Leodam Beshas Misa. Hashem will reveal even idle chatter, even the biggest nonsense that a person speaks. Why do we pick up on the man with wife? I don't know. But in any event, the idle nonsense that a person says, even that will be revealed to a person with Mishas Mitzvot. That's how he understood Masechai, and that is why he was in so much pain.
Because that's what you say. Your question was why the conversation between husband and wife.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's private, it's quiet, it's intimate, and
But when you hear what you said, and when you said it was important, and those conversations were important conversations. So why is that to be embarrassed of? Why is it to be embarrassed of? If in the conversation there was nonsense, so there's nonsense everywhere. Two people sit together in Beis Medrash and they don't learn. They shoot Dvarim B'Teilim. They say even bigger nonsense between themselves, and then they say to their wife. You have guys in Beis Medrash. There are certain people that are just not learners. They schmooze away the whole day, and you listen to what they're schmoozing about. I mean, the guys, this is a total not garbage. Wife, sometimes you have a smart wife. You don't talk nonsense with your wife. You talk important things. So why did the Gemara pick up the Dafka on the Siach ben Ish Leishtoi? I don't know. I always thought. Yeah.
It's Rani. I'm a bacher still.
In Yonit Tznius. In Yonit Tznius.
Right.
So why is that? Why is that? So why is that to be embarrassed of? These are important things. Okay. I don't know. It's. You would think there are more foolish things that are said in this world between man and man than things that are said between man and woman in any situation. In any situation, whatever it is, even an intimate situation, those. But between man and man, why do we pick up a dafka ishtoi? I do not know. It's something to think about. Now, if you just go to the Mincha Shai for 1 second, he also quotes the same Gemara. He quotes the same Gemara in the Magid La'adam Asechai, the Perakama de Chagiga, Mai Masechai. This is the same exact Gemara, and he just elaborates a bit more. Amarav, Afilu Sicha Kala Yeserish for an Ishla Ishtoi, Magidim Loi Bishas Misa. And then he quotes the Yushalmi. V'chein b'Yushalmi perik ein dershim, afilu dvam she'ein bohem chet, even things where there is no sin,
innocent
things, nichtavin la'adam al pinkasa, it's written on the person's file, on his notebook, his tablet. Umi magid la'adam. Now here he is a little bit, when the first one, that's an interesting thing, is that in the book of Sefer HaZichronos, just we take it as a given, but you know, not everyone understands this. We have to appreciate that you're very advanced, is that some people think that in your record in Shemayim, it's only recorded mitzvos and averos. Everything else is not recorded. Everything else, if you eat, you walk, go for a walk, anything that you do that in your mind, and your madrega, every person is a different madrega. Some people, they're eating as a mitzvah. They're relaxing as a mitzvah. But the average person is not like the average person. There are times when you apply yourself, and there are times when you just, you know, there's off hours. You gotta relax, downtime. You chill out. So the chill out time, that's not part of the cheshbon. You have 24 hours in a day, so there are times in the day when you work very hard to serve Hashem, you learn, you go to work, I'm working L'Shem Shemayim to make a parnasa to support my family, and then there are times when you realize, you know, I really shouldn't be doing this. I really should not be watching this YouTube video. It's not really, you know, the best thing. But, you know, listen, I have to do an avera also. I have to have what to chew for.
You don't want to make a bracha batal of slachlanu.
Slachlanu, right? You got to do. Okay, so I realize on my Pinchas, this mitzvahs, I daven three times a day. I learned, I worked, I benched, I ate l'shem shemayim, I shav koichos, and I did a couple of averas here and there. Okay, I can do a couple of averas also. And then there's other time during the day which is just parif. I'm sitting on the bus, relaxing, listening to some music, listening to reading a novel. The parif time, right? Every person's madrega. That's not part of the cheshbon. So the Yerushalmi says, I'm sorry to tell you, that's also on record. Everything that you do, even things that are not mitzvah, it's not chatam, that's also on record. Okay, that we take that as, I think the average person who went to yeshiva takes it as a given, right? That's pretty much Baruch Hashem. We're on a high level, but you know, unfortunately, people that have not had the opportunity to have a Jewish education, they don't necessarily appreciate that. That everything, even now here is something a little bit different in the Mincha Shain. He says over here something: who is Magid? Umagid le'adam ma'aseichai. So everyone across the board, from beginning to end, every parish that we learn is the Ribbono Shel Olam is the Magid. He's the Magid. Hashem is the ultimate Magid, not Pesach Kron. Hashem is the Magid. So what does it mean over here? Umagid umi Magid le'adam. Here it says Hevel hayotzei mipiv. The breath that comes out of your mouth. What does that mean? I don't know what it means. In something along the lines, you yourself will say it over to yourself. You don't need Hashem to say it. You'll talk to yourself. The hevel hayoitze mipiv. I don't really know what it means. Whatever it means, it means. You yourself are the maggot. Whatever you do, what?
Hang by the tongue.
That's what it means. It's an expression. You yourself will say over. Let me review my whole life. Okay, we the subconscious, we have no clue what's locked up in our subconscious. They say, scientists say, we only use 4% of our brain. Isn't that spooky? 96% of the brain we don't have access to. Doesn't mean it's not being used.
That's the black box.
Everything there is stored. Everything is stored, it sees, it knows, records, and Achameh Ve'esrim, the 96% is opened. To who? To us. To the Neshama. The Neshama now has access. The physicality of man prevents him to have access to that 96%, but it's all there. And Achameh Ve'esrim, in the Olam HaEmes, the Neshama has access to all 96%, 100%. And then he reviews his whole life. He reviews the whole life and he sees everything from a different perspective. When you're using 96% of the brain to see what happened to review your lifetime, you're overwhelmed. You have incredible tainik for the mitzvahs that you've done, and that's the Gan Eden. And you have incredible pain and tsar for all of the averus you've done, and that's the Gehenna. And then whatever you've accomplished, you're able to work with to go higher and higher in the next world in learning. If you learn through Shas, even though you don't understand every little thing, you've gone through it, your eyes have seen every single daf, you've absorbed in the daf, that will give you tools in the next world. 96% of the mind that's open will give you tools to grow higher and higher. This is what it says in the books. What this means in words, I have no idea what all this is about, but it's spooky stuff. Even if the goyim are telling us only 4% of the brain, and the biggest geniuses in this world, maybe they use 5 or 6%. The difference between the ultra geniuses, the Einsteins of this world, and the average man is the Einsteins, they have access to maybe to 5 or 6% of the brain, where the average man is only using 4%. So can you imagine what those people would be, what it means to have access to 100%? It's just not, it's mavalarayin, what the koyach of a human being is, and how Kodesh Baruch Hu, to now favor to us, he shut us down. He shut down the power of what man is truly capable of. I'll give you a mashal. L'chavel elef avdolos. Reading out now, if you're into technology, they're coming out now 5G. Okay, everyone has cell phones. It used to be 3G was a joke. 4G LTE. Wow, when you can do 4G LTE, and now they're coming. They're unveiling what's called 5G. It's a big sakana for society, I told you, because 5G needs 10 times more power than 4G LTE, and the radio waves in the air is going to become now, you're going to hear in the news, it's going to be a big, big hot potato in the news now, the sakana. Every now we ignore the sakana of all the, you know, the cell phones, where we ignore it, but now with 5G, where they're going to put in the air 10 times more power than existed until now, it's going to be a big, 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 big thing now. Everyone's going to be talking about it, and they're going to. But in any event, if you read the newspapers, they say the following: this is the biggest joke, this 5G, because we have not even the technology is not even taking advantage of the power of 4G. 4G, what you have now on your cell phone, you know how powerful that is. You know how much information you can stream in the air? It's maver al harayon. The cell phones, the technology of the cell phone is just not taking advantage of what's available. To make a new technology is a waste of time and money. You need to stimulate the economy, because the koyach of what's already there is not to be believed. Read about it. And therefore, as I said, the mind, what's in the mind, every person walking around with 96% of the mind not being utilized, do you know what's going on in a person's mind? How much brain power there is in a person's mind? It's just not to be believed. And it's not being utilized. It's just bottle. And this is true for every living creature in this world. The Bein Shalala made it like that. That's it's being used subconsciously. It's storing. It's hachana for the next world. That's what it says in Chazal, in Farshim. Okay, so this we pretty much conclude. We have to now do one more thing, the Chaymas Anoch. The Chaymas Anoch, we have to go back and do these two psukim back on page 309. That's the last thing to do. He's always geschmack. That's the only word I can find to say the Chaymas Anoch. The Chidah. What? The Chidah, right? Really, the Chidah is the Chaymas Anoch. So we always like to do the Chaymas Anoch. Let's go back on page 309, the two psukim together. L'chein koya mar esel l'cho yishol ekev kizoyz. Remember that passage we learned last week? I'm going to do this to you because I'm going to do it to you. We have many perushim, it's a very difficult pasuk. Pasuk Bez is a very difficult pasuk, and then we go into pasuk Gimel. Let's see how he looks at the pasuk. Hinei, again on page 309, Choy Masanoch. Hinei l'ma'le hisker minei puranoyos nimrotzois harsh forms of punishment. The Omar. And Hashem was critical. Hashem says, I punish you severely. And it's so obvious that it's the Yad Hashem, and yet you've been foolish, you have not done teshuv, you have not returned Odai means to me. I'm going to punish you. Period. You're going to say, Mechori ho'af ha'gadol hazeh. It's not fair. Why are you so angry? Haloi anusimanu al yad yetzer hara kemosha omru beperikama de basra shatan iov v'af im anu nenim min haveros besoif havile ki isha shenensa the af the saif of beratzon even though at the end she enjoyed doing the Avera, Yitzra, Albisha, she was overcome by the Yetzahara, it overcame her, Umuteres Labala, and that is why a woman is mutter to return to her husband. Let me explain. If a woman is raped, okay, Chas Shalom, so is she allowed to return to her husband? Yes, of course. Let's say a woman is mezane willingly. She goes out and finds another man, an eshes ish, and she with will, with desire, she lives with another man. She's forbidden to return to her husband. But if she was, it was done to her against her will, she is permitted to return to her husband. The Gemara's question is, there's no such thing as a woman having this done to her against her will. It may be in the beginning, in the very beginning, she never would have come into contact with this person, and maybe in the beginning of this act of Arayos, it may have been against her will, but the Gemara is saying, a fact, a reality in human nature, in the human psychology, that at some point in time in this forbidden act of Arayos, she derived a small, teeny, weeny, mashahu of pleasure.
Tell that to the Me Too generation.
What?
Tell that to the Me Too generation.
The Me Too generation, what do you mean by
that? The women that accuse men.
The Gemara, well, they're right, they're still right. But the Gemara is saying, here's the Gemara's kasha. Even though she was raped, and she was screaming, and she needs therapy forever and ever, whatever it is, it cannot be that she did not derive a teeny mashu of pleasure. So, Frek the Gemara, if she did derive a teeny, which she can't even define, mashu of pleasure, and sometimes it's even more than a mashu, sometimes it might be even a significant amount of pleasure, yet the halacha is, she is permitted to return to her husband. Because in the beginning, it was against her will. She never would have come into contact with this man. She was forced. She was forced in the beginning. So yet the Gemara says, it's okay. If in the beginning it was against her will, even though at the end, ultimately, it will result in there being a small amount of pleasure, lo nitna toira lemalachei hashares. Torah was not given to angels. This is human nature. It doesn't matter. She is permitted to come back and return to her husband. Question is, it's the same thing when it comes to Averas. Every human being in this world does not want to do an Avera. Cannot be. A person is the creation of Hashem. He is created B'Tselem Elokim. It cannot be a human being wants to rebel against Hashem. So why do we see people out there, they relish in doing Averos, Lahachis against Hashem? Well, it's no different than a woman who is Nensa, a woman who was raped. She didn't want to be raped, but it has to be. It's just a physical thing. It has to be that there's some mashu of pleasure. So therefore, every person that does Aver, and yet she's mutter because in the beginning it was against the will. So therefore, Hashem, why are you punishing us? We don't want to rebel against you. Even though people are worshipping idols and doing terrible Averos, how did it all start? It all started because the Yetzirah forced us. He was overwhelming. The passion, the tithe of the Yetzirah was so overwhelming, we couldn't help ourselves. Even though now we don't need the Yetzirah, we sent him on vacation, we do it on our own. But you have to focus on how it all started. This was the complaint of Eif. So that's just focusing on again the fundamentals of Emunah. Why this basically say this? L'chein, therefore, to that comes over here our pasuk. It's an amazing, we're learning over here, incredibly say this. L'chein, therefore, boho l'kim yudia. What we learned over here this last week is coming to answer that question. L'chein, therefore, boho l'kim yudia al-drachav, d'hu tohos gamor. That argument, don't compare yourself to a woman who was raped. D'kevan since. The al yedei hatayra yecholim linotzel mehayetzer hara su lo chashev oines guchmosh arma perikama de basra b'sach b'basra sheishivu loy chave iyov. That was exactly what the answer was. So before we read the words inside, how he's shot in the pasuk, he's saying barasi yetzer hara barasi tayra tavlin. Tayra is the antidote. And therefore, there is no excuse for doing Averos. You have the ability to nip it in the bud. And even though there are cases where you're not responsible, like the woman that was Nensa, but it comes a point in time where you can regain control. Doesn't go on forever, Averos. There's a break point, and during that break point, you have the option of using the Torah as an antidote, as a tool to be mechazek against the Yetzer Hara. Okay, that's the answer. The answer is you do have a tool, and therefore you are held accountable, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just in punishing us. V'zehu shaman, this is the pshat in the pasuk. L'lum mamash, l'ikri yisoydeis of Yavos today. Pasuk from the Chidah, pasuk Yibbeis. Ekev, ki zois eselach. Ein zos, he darshins is drush. The word zos is Torah. V'zois ha-Torah, asher samayshe. Ein zois el-Torah, kolomar. Hadin dinemes ba'avur ha-Torah. The reason why, Akev, you know why I'm going to punish you, and you know why your complaint against me that it's not fair is unjust. Akev, ki zois, I gave you the Torah. The zois ha-Torah asher son Moshe lefnei b'nei Yisrael. Sha'al yoda yichaylim li natzel ve'ein kan oynis. V'chi toimru ma'koyach gavra ima yetzahara shu eish v'nachnu bosar v'dam. What are you talking about? The Torah is not so powerful. We're just the Yetzer is fire, passion, and Torah. We're only boss of it. We're only boss of Adam. Leze Omar, the pasuk at the end of the pasuk says, "He coined lekras lekecha Yisrael atem achinu atzvechem l'shuva." You, he coined here means do teshuva. Vani misayeya eschem. I will help you. Did is arusa dilatata? Okay, the assistance militata from below. Habal letayer misayin noiso. We have a principle of emuna. Habal letayer misayin noiso. If you'll only do is rauso dilatata, you do yours. Leich kinois es kol hayehudim. You do yours. Hashem will respond by giving you siyat deshmaya. Habal letayer. Next page. Habal letayer daika. Kevan shu mechin atzmav. You do a hachona. He coin likras. Just start. Make your hachonos v'hubol itaher derech biyosoi. That alone, misayno. So take if Hashem will immediately come to your assistance. L'chein ani omer he koin likras l'kecha Yisrael v'oz habol itaher misayin le misayel le shemayim lo zochu ligmor l'toyvu. They will help you be successful. The yan techilas hachonah hishmeres aloshen. Now, what should a person do? What is the hachana? Now we're going further. Pastor Gimel, according to the Chidah, what is the hachana? Shemiras halashin. Watch what comes out of your mouth. K'moish amar akosav mi ho'ish hechafetz chayim nitzar guard l'shon chamero l'chein defar amar kihine. How does it tie into the next pasuk? Yoitzer harim uvoire ruach haynu haguf haynu guf. The nefesh chaya ruach mimalla. The ruach of this pasuk is the spirit. It means the neshama. He's telling me the neshama. The doesn't mean the wind that blows a hurricane. A hurricane. That's not what it means. He learns the ruach in the drush. It means the neshama. K'moy shakasavti b'chidush ha'gadois perakam da'akhida. Ramas was that musa harav bina. Li'itim, Zal, okay, that was the name of a very choshev sefer, Drush, it's I'm not familiar with the whole history of him, but the sefer called the Bina Li'itim, ki koya chadibri, hu matona toiva me'okel yisparach, hu vezeh hivdilu mitachayis aretz, what differentiates man from animal is koya chadibor, v'roi mo'il v'chayiv ha'odam l'shlo l'zalzal b'matonosa yisparach, do not be mezalzal l'koya chadibor, v'kol shakein shlo l'shtamish b'menu kinegde, do not use it against Hashem, chas v'shalom v'zeh shamar, Kinei yoitz harim kuloi gufe diruf tikei. Okay, the harim refers to the body. Okay, it means the gufe diruf tikei. I do not know what that word means. Mechol, you have any idea what that word means? Diruf tikei. Basically, we just learned for the moment it means the body. Hashem created all of the bodies of human beings. Uvoire ruach mimalala. And Hashem created the koyach adibur, the neshama. That's why man has the koyach adibur. Magid is the koyach v'hi adam l'nefesh chaya l'ruach mimalala. What is Rashi says? L'ruach mimalala means a speaking creature. That's what Uru Magid comes into play over here. Hanivdol mechayek masechoy afilu sichkala de'ein lezalzal b'matanasai. A person should not be mezalzal nekoyach adibor. The kol shekain certainly lahachisoy chas v'shem not to anger Hashem. So we're out of time, so let's just finish up quickly and now we'll review the pasuk very quickly after. Yeah, let's just redo it in words. Oy say shachar if Hashem makes some light darkness. Now this is one of the most exchange. This is one of the most difficult mamori chazal b'chol ha'Torah kula. Who's saying this? Not me. Rav Elio Dessler. Rav Elio Dessler says that he struggled his entire life to understand what this Maamar Chazal means. If a person speaks Lashon Hara, all of his merits are transferred to the other person. And all of those persons' averos are transferred to him. What could this possibly mean? It's illogical. It defies all logic what this means. How do we understand this? Elio Dessler, who was like the Rav Chaim on Divrei Agada, he said he struggled his entire life and he does not know what this could possibly mean. We have to be munas chachamim. It means what it means. And it's pretty scary. Himself.
Anytime he says chassid.
Means himself?
Yeah.
It means like they say a certain gadol. You give a drush, you would say, shamati me adam gadol. Who is he referring to? Himself. He made up things. He made up things. He wanted people to take it seriously. I heard from a big gadol. He was the one he was referring to. The chashar sheyanishu l'olam haba al eiz averos. When they punish him, the next one eiz averos. Yed say litoin ki loy miyada chayisazos. That we have to maybe spend more time on this in the proper way. So maybe I should leave for tomorrow because it's already late. So we'll go over this again tomorrow. This chida and incredible chida to go learn the whole pshat in this process.